If you would like to follow the Bible passage, it's in Luke's Gospel in chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and beginning to read at verse 36. Now, the background to this is, it's the first Easter Sunday. It's the evening. And you may well recall the narrative in Luke's Gospel where two of the disciples of Jesus were walking on the road to Emmaus when the Lord Jesus himself met up with them, walked all the way to Emmaus, and while they were sitting having their evening meal, the penny dropped. And they realized that this person, this stranger who was eating the meal with them, was the risen Lord himself. And at that, the Lord disappeared out of their sight. But they were so excited that they could back up out of their seats and all the way down these 7 miles back to Jerusalem to tell the rest of the disciples that they had seen the Lord Jesus. So they met up with the rest of the disciples. And this is where we break into the story. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Now, when we go into the book of the Revelation, John writes that he saw in a vision the Lord Jesus. And this is the way he describes him. His eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. That speaks of the justice and the purity of the Lord Jesus. But when we come into Luke's Gospel, and I wonder if you noticed that little phrase that we read, he showed them his hands and his feet. Luke is very much more down to earth, if you'll forgive me using that expression, with regards to the feet of the Lord Jesus. Because as we read through the Gospel of Luke, we find several references to the feet of the Lord. And that's what I'd like us to look at briefly this morning. And I won't keep you long, because I've got my watch here and I'm conscious of the time. If you want to follow the passages, you'll start off in Luke's Gospel and chapter 7. Let me just read the passage, because when we read the scriptures, we probably get more out of them than I could ever share. So Jesus and his disciples sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken the chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone out of him, had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. Now, you're probably familiar with how the story continues, that the demons begged Jesus to allow them to be put into the herd of pigs that was feeding nearby. The pigs then ran down the embankment and drowned in the Sea of Galilee. The jungle drums got going, and the people from the town and the countryside round about weren't long in hearing what had happened, and a crowd of them came out to find out just what had happened. And when they came and found Jesus, this was the scene that they discovered. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet. There's the reference. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. This was a man whose life was in torment. He couldn't do anything to help himself, and he was isolated. But when he came to the feet of the Lord Jesus, what did the people find? They found that he was sitting. He was now calm. He was dressed. He was now clothed. He was in his right mind. He was complete. The feet of Jesus for that man was a place of restoration. Let's go on into chapter 8. And you know something? I've got myself all mixed up, because there was actually an incident in chapter 7 before this. Is it okay if I backtrack? Here we find a lady who knew that the Lord Jesus was sitting in the Pharisee's house having a meal. And she came along. Now, it's difficult for us to picture this because we have doors and windows in our houses. But we're thinking back to the land of Palestine in the first century. Probably no windows, and the doors would be open because it was so warm. And apparently it wasn't unusual, if there was a dinner party going on, for a group of the townsfolk just to go along and nosy through the window. So it wasn't unusual for strangers, as it were, who weren't invited, to be around about the house. But this lady didn't just wait outside the house. She came inside the house. She stood behind where Jesus was sitting, or rather reclining at the table, which means that his legs and feet would have been stretched out behind him. She was crying, and the tears dripped onto Jesus' feet, and she dried them with her hair, and then she poured perfume on his feet. And the man, Simon the Pharisee, who had invited Jesus for the meal, was surprised at this, because he described the lady as a sinful woman. And he said to himself, if this man really was a prophet, he would know the kind of lady who was touching him. And yet the Lord Jesus was prepared to allow this to happen. In the course of this, the Lord Jesus told a parable to Simon the Pharisee. And it was about two men who owed a debt to a certain man. One owed 500 denarii, one owed just 50. Neither of them was able to pay back the debt. And so the man to whom they owed the money just cancelled the debts for both of them. The Lord Jesus asked Simon, "Who do you think would love that man more?" And he said, "Well, I guess it was the man who had the bigger debt cancelled." And the Lord Jesus said, "Yes, that's right. Because whoever has been forgiven much loves much, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little." When we think about a debt that could not be repaid, you and I are in exactly that same situation. The Lord Jesus, as God, is looking for perfection from us. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. We cannot repay the debt of love that we owe. We cannot repay the Lord Jesus for dying for us. But in dying for us, he has paid the price. The debt is cancelled between us and God, and we're brought near. That place at the feet of Jesus for that lady and for us was a place of appreciation. She appreciated what the Lord had done for her. Let's try and get back on track. We're back in Luke chapter 8. And then we have two instances which are really kind of interwoven with each other. I'm going to start off with the lady who came behind the Lord in the crowd because she had been unwell for 12 years. And she just said to herself, "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be cured." And so in the crowd, she worked her way through, stretched out, and touched the cloak of the Lord Jesus. And she felt immediately that she had been healed. But as well as the lady knowing something special had happened, the Lord Jesus also knew, because he had felt power go out of him. And so he turned in the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" And you can imagine the woman was absolutely terrified. And the Lord Jesus obviously wouldn't go any further until he knew who had touched him. And eventually the lady came forward, trembling, and wait till we see what we find here. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And we can see from that the Lord Jesus wasn't interested in giving the lady a row for touching him. He wanted his feet for this lady to be a place of confirmation. Confirmation, first of all, that she had really been healed, and confirmation that it wasn't his clothes that were special, but it was her faith. Notice that he said to her, "Your faith has healed you." That is tremendous. I'm probably going to be losing my track again, but let's see where we go from here. Yes, that incident was like a little cameo within a wider incident, because we read just before this of a man called Jairus. Now, he was the ruler of the synagogue, and he came to Jesus. This is what we find. "Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Just then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet. There's the reference again. He fell at Jesus' feet. In Jairus' case, the feet of Jesus was a place of desperation. He was at his tether's end because his wee girl, who was only 12, was at home and she was close to death. Now, Jairus did the right thing in coming to the Lord Jesus. Trying to get back on track. And we have here something of a model for our prayers. Now, I have to be honest and say, and you will probably know as well, when we pray, even in faith, for the healing of somebody, the physical healing, we don't always see a yes answer to that prayer. And that is what stretches our faith even further, because we have to trust that as for God, his way is perfect, and we don't always know the bigger picture. Can you imagine the feeling of Jairus when the news came from his house, your little girl is dead? He hit rock bottom. But it wasn't a problem for the Lord Jesus. Let me go through these points, if I may, with regards to our model for prayer, because as I say, Jairus came to the right person in prayer. He came to the Lord. He came with the right attitude because he fell at Jesus' feet and pleaded with him. Although he was the ruler of the synagogue, he didn't stand on his status and demand Jesus to come. He fell at his feet and pleaded with him to come. And then he waited for the Lord. Can you imagine while the Lord Jesus stopped to attend to this lady? Jairus was maybe thinking, oh, come on, you need to get back to my house. My wee girl's dying. But he had to wait for the Lord. Then he experiences the depths of despair when he hears, your little girl is dead. And then he hears the reassuring words of the Lord. Don't be afraid. And then he's allowed a particularly private time because the Lord Jesus puts out everyone except Jairus, his wife, three of his disciples, and the Lord himself. And they then go into the room and the Lord Jesus takes a little girl by the hand and says, little girl, arise. And she got up. He brought her back to life. I'm conscious of the time, and so I'm just going to hurry on very quickly. The next instance we read about in terms of the feet of the Lord Jesus is in connection with a lady called Mary who lived at Bethany. And that house at Bethany seemed to have been a place where the Lord and his disciples often went in their visits to Jerusalem, maybe to either stay overnight or at least to get a meal. And you know the story. The group of disciples and Jesus had arrived. Martha was harassed to death in the kitchen, and Mary, her sister, was sitting at his feet, listening to what he was saying. She sat there because the feet of Jesus was a place of instruction. Then we could go on and read about the healing of 10 leprous men, and only one of them came back to say thank you. He was a Samaritan, and when he came back, he fell at the feet of Jesus. The feet of Jesus is a place of inclusion. No one is excluded. When we come in faith to the Lord Jesus, he receives us all and gives us forgiveness. Because although he was a Samaritan, the Lord didn't withhold healing from him, nor did the Lord withhold the healing from the other 9 who didn't come back. grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is tremendous. In one of his letters, the letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes, "Remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth, at that time you were separate from Christ, without hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." There's that inclusiveness at the feet of Jesus. And then we come to the passage that we read earlier. That resurrection evening, the disciples there, their minds are all over the place. They thought the Lord Jesus was dead. The women had told them that the tomb was empty. The disciples who come back from Emmaus say, "He's alive." And then Jesus himself stands in the midst. He stood among them. He spoke with them. He showed himself to them. He shared food with them. He established them. And then he sent them because he said, "You are witnesses." All on the basis that he showed them his hands and his feet. The hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus still bore the marks of his crucifixion. There was no mistaking. This was Jesus himself. That was a great place of realization for these disciples and for you and me as well. The Lord Jesus really is risen. And here's the thing. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. We know it. We have the evidence. He showed them his hands and his feet. That's our confirmation that the Lord Jesus really is alive. He has the power over sin, death, hell, and the grave. We can trust him with our lives, and we can share it with others in confidence. Amen.